Just before Jesus ascended into the heavens, he delivered to his apostles what we commonly refer to as the Great Commission. Now that name, Great Commission, is not found in Scripture. Nevertheless, the charge that Jesus gave to us is indeed great. It is great in the sense that it is a wonderful charge, but also in the sense that it is a very imposing task. There's much work to be done. We have the obligation to share the message of Jesus, the saving gospel message, with all of those around us. I want you to open your Bible first to Matthew chapter 28. Matthew chapter 28, and notice Jesus' words beginning in verse 18. The Bible says, "And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, 'All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age.'" Mark records the Great Commission in chapter 16, beginning in verse 15. The Bible says, "And he said to them, 'Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned.'" And then we also have Luke's account of the Great Commission. Open your Bibles to Luke chapter 24, if you will. And notice what Jesus says beginning in verse 46. Scripture says, "Then he said to them, 'Thus it is written, and thus it was necessary for the Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name to all nations, beginning in Jerusalem.'" What does God want his followers to do? He wants us, like the apostles who were before us, to teach those around us about Jesus. The Great Commission. I want us to think about the Great Commission this morning, and what I really want us to do is to think about a few reasons why I believe we can rightly say that this challenge from Jesus, this charge that he has presented to us, is indeed great. Number one, the Great Commission is great because of its source. From where does this commission come? What is the derivation of it? Who is the one behind it? Well, that question can be answered very simply. It comes from Jesus. Again, go back to Matthew 28 and verse 18, the first passage that we looked at for a moment. And I want you to notice what Jesus himself says about the statement he's about to make to his apostles. "He came and he spoke to them, saying, 'All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth.'" Why is this charge so important? Where does it get its power? It gets its power from the one who issued it. And so if we ask the question, why should we be willing to share the message of Jesus with others? It should be because the one who has all authority has charged us to do so. This is not a command without emphasis. It's not a charge that has no basis. It is a command that comes from the one who has, as he proclaims to us, all authority. What does that mean? It means he has the right to tell us what we should do, how we should conduct ourselves, what our task and responsibility actually is. And Jesus has done that. Now, that's not the only passage in Scripture that reminds us of the authority of Christ. In Ephesians chapter 1, verse 22, for example, the Bible says he, talking about God the Father, has put all things under his, describing the Son's feet, and has given him to be head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. Why is the Great Commission great? It's great because of its source. It comes from Jesus. He's the one who has all authority, and he is, without any doubt, the Son of God. Now, there are many ways that we can come to the conclusion that Jesus is the Son of God, and consequently that we should be obedient to what he has to say to us. But there's probably nothing that is more definitive than the fact of his resurrection. That his tomb is empty, and it's because his tomb is empty that we have a job. That his message cannot remain silent, that his message cannot be untold, but that you and I, as we seek to please God, should share it with those around us. The Great Commission. Why? Because of Jesus, its source. Speaking of Jesus as the Son of God, look at Romans chapter 1 for just a moment. In Romans, the first chapter, Paul is describing his charge as an apostle. And he wants to explain that he has come into this position by virtue of Jesus the Christ. But he also wants people to know who Jesus is. And so he says very simply and yet very powerfully about Jesus that he has been, verse 4, declared to be the Son of God with power. According to the Spirit of holiness. How is that? How did it occur? How do we know that Jesus is the Son of God? The text says, by the resurrection from the dead. What is it that sets Jesus Christ up as the Son of God with power? It is the fact that he defeated death, that he conquered it. Why is the Great Commission great? What makes this charge, this challenge, so much more important than many of the other things that people might ask you to do? Number one, because of the one from whom it comes. It is great because of its source, Jesus, the one who has all authority, the one who died in our place. In Romans, the 5th chapter and the 6th verse, the Bible says, "For when we were still without strength in due time, Christ died for the ungodly." Who did he die for? He died for those who need it the most, for sinners. And by the way, all of us fall into that category. Why is the commission that Jesus issues great? Number one, because of its source, Jesus. Number two, why is the Great Commission great? It is great because of its scope. And by that I mean this commission is not just for a limited group. The commission that Jesus Christ issued to his apostles was not just for the Jews. It was not just for that group that found Jesus to be a good teacher and followed him during his earthly ministry. It is great because it is for all people, for all times. In Mark the 16th chapter and verse 15, Jesus said, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." Who needs to hear the message of God? All the world. Well, who then in the world needs to hear the message of God? Every creature. There are many people in the religious world today who would have you to believe that the death of Jesus is only for a limited few. That's not what the commission of Jesus Christ teaches us. If his gospel is to be preached to all the world, it is because all the world needs to hear his gospel, and not just because all of the world needs to hear his gospel, because all of the world has the capacity to hear and believe and obey and be saved. And so our task, our responsibility is to share the saving gospel message with the entire world. It's not something that we keep to ourselves. Jesus never intended that. It is something that is to be shared with everyone. That's important to notice that the New Testament church believed and practiced this. If you study the book of Acts, you find that those folks were willing to share the gospel with anyone who would listen. In Acts the 8th chapter, for example, in verse 4, the Bible says, "Therefore those who were scattered went everywhere preaching the word." Where did they go? Well, they didn't just go to their favorite place. They didn't just go to where people were kind to them. They went everywhere. What were they doing? They were preaching the word. That's also important because it tells us they weren't preaching their own ideology. They weren't preaching the stories that they liked to tell. They were preaching the word of God. It is, after all, the word of God that sets us free. So why is the Great Commission great? It's great because of its source. It comes from Jesus, the one who has all authority, the one who has the right to tell us what we should do because he's died in our place, because he is the Son of God and defeated death. It's great because of its scope. It's not just for a limited select few. It is for all people in all times. And then thirdly, it's great because of its duration. How long should this message be proclaimed? One of the primary tools that we use when we are seeking to interpret Scripture is to carefully consider the context of a passage. Now, there are occasions when individuals do that with the Great Commission and they draw incorrect conclusions. They'll say things like, well, if we're going to look at the context, then actually Jesus just issued the Great Commission to his apostles. It was their task, not mine. Well, let me suggest to you that you are correct in assuming that Jesus is speaking to his apostles here in Matthew, the 28th chapter. That is indeed the case. But the commission itself indicates that it was not just limited to the apostles, for the commission was not to last just during the lives of the apostles. It was to last even to the end of the age. Matthew chapter 28 and verse 20, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. How long should the Great Commission be taught? Was it only intended for the apostles? Was it supposed to be taught only until they passed from this life? Or was it supposed to continue after their death? The point of Matthew 28 and verse 20 is that this commission is something that should always be taught. Why? Because men need the salvation that Jesus Christ offers. Because individuals are still lost and dying in their sins. Because individuals are still living according to the lust of the flesh. They're still following the things of this world rather than the things of God. Because it's only Jesus Christ who can set us free from our sins. And it's important to notice that this commission that we are to continue to teach is not going to be replaced by another. The writer of Hebrews made this very plain when he began his book. Hebrews, the first chapter and the first verse, God, who at various times and in various ways spoke in time past to the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days spoken to us by His Son, whom He has appointed heir of all things, through whom also He made the world. God speaks to us today through His Son. What's the commission of Christ supposed to do? It's supposed to call people to be obedient. To whom? To our traditions? Is that what it says? Teach people to observe the things that you have practiced for years. That's not what the Great Commission says. It says teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. Who's that? It's Jesus. The Great Commission is great because of its source. It comes from Christ. It's great because of its scope. It is for all of the world, not just for a limited select few. God does desire all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth after all. 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 4. It's great because of its duration. It's not to be replaced by another. It is to last until Jesus comes again. He'll be with us always, even to the end of the age. And then fourthly, It's great because of its purpose. What's the point of the Great Commission to begin with? What's the purpose of all of this? Well, the purpose is that men and women might be saved. Now look at Mark chapter 16, if you will, in your Bibles. Mark's the 16th chapter, and let's notice verse 16. After Jesus has talked about the scope of the commission, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, he continues by saying, he who believes and is baptized will be saved. But he who does not believe will be condemned. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Why are we supposed to preach the gospel? So that individuals might believe it and obey it and be saved by it. That's why Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Romans chapter 1 and verse 16. It is by virtue of this great commission, this charge of Jesus, that we have the opportunity to hear God's plan. I'm thankful that the apostles were not unfaithful to this charge. I'm thankful that they obeyed what Jesus told them to do, that they went into all the world and that they preached the gospel of Jesus Christ, that individuals can hear God's word and believe it and obey it and be saved because of that. This is why the apostles continue to preach, even in the face of persecution. It's why they didn't give up. It's why they didn't quit. It's why we can't give up. It's why we can't quit. Why is the Great Commission great? It's great because of its purpose. Let me also add to our list, it is great because of its sufficiency. Now, by that, I mean that this commission is not just designed to tell us what to do in order to be saved initially. You see, there are many people who would have you to believe that once you're saved, you're always saved, and yet Scripture teaches us that's not the case. Paul told the Galatians specifically that they who attempted to be justified by law had fallen from grace. Either you can fall from grace or you can't. Paul said you can. And not only can you, you have if you've gone this route, Galatians 5 and verse 4. But the point that we need to see from what Jesus is saying in Matthew 28 particularly is that this task that we have is not just about getting individuals to initially commit to the cause of Christ. It is about getting individuals to follow Christ all of their lives. And notice again what he says, verses 19 and 20 of Matthew 28. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations. This isn't just about getting someone to agree with you initially. It is about changing the way that individuals live. And that, by the way, is exactly what the gospel is designed to do. It is designed to change our hearts and our lives. Make disciples, make followers. Followers of whom? Followers of Christ. So that individuals aren't living according to their own desires and lusts any longer, so that they are instead living after the way of Jesus. Make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Spirit. That is indeed the beginning. But it doesn't stop there. Look at verse 20. Teaching them. Teaching them what? To observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. What does the Great Commission charge us to do? It charges us not only to teach what one must do to be saved, it charges us to continue to teach what one must do to stay saved. Teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. That's important. We have an obligation, not just to be aware of what Jesus would have us to do, but to follow it. In John the 12th chapter, in the 48th verse, Jesus said, he who rejects me and does not receive my words has that which judges him. The word that I've spoken will judge him in the last day. Are we held accountable for the words that Jesus spoke? Yes. Yes, we are. What Jesus our Lord has told us to do, we must do. We cannot turn from His commandments. He told us in John 14 and verse 15, if you love me, keep my commandments. It's also interesting that if you look over to 1 John in verse 28 of chapter 2, you find this statement. John said, and now, little children, abide in Him, that when He appears, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before Him at His coming. That statement is an interesting one. Abide in Him. John's not just talking about obeying Jesus initially and then doing whatever you want to do with the rest of your time and your life. That's not at all what the intention is here. It is about a continual obedience to Jesus the Christ. We recognize that when we go back to chapter 2 and look at verse 5, for example. Whoever keeps His word, truly the love of God is perfected in him, and by this we know that we are in Him. He who says he abides in Him ought himself also to walk just as He walked. If we're going to abide in Him, that we might not be ashamed, that we might have confidence in His coming, what does it mean? Well, it means that we do more than simply say, well, yes, I want to follow Him. It means that our task, our desire, is to live as He lived, to do as He did. Why is this great commission great? It's great because of its sufficiency. It teaches us not only what we must do to be saved, it teaches us what we must do to stay saved, to obey the commandments of Christ. Why is the great commission great? Let me give you one other thing to add to your list. The great commission is great because of its urgency. Because of its urgency. Now, I want you to think very carefully with me for just a moment. Why is this message an urgent one? Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved. He who does not believe will be condemned. Why is that an urgent message? To answer that, I want you to begin by turning with me to 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. I want you to see what Paul told the Thessalonians. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, and let's begin reading in verse 6. These folks were being persecuted. Sometimes when you're facing trials like they faced, you begin to wonder how God could be just, how He could be fair. And Paul reminds them that it is a righteous thing with God to repay with tribulation those who trouble you. In other words, the ones who were persecuting them were indeed going to be punished for their actions. And likewise, those who were being troubled were going to be given rest. He said in verse 7, to give you who are troubled rest with us when the Lord Jesus is revealed from heaven with His mighty angels. Watch verse 8 though. In flaming fire, taking vengeance on those who do not know God and on those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Did you catch the last part of verse 8? What is the end result of failing to obey the gospel? What's the end result? According to Paul's declaration to the Thessalonians, the end result of failing to obey the gospel is to receive the punishment that is associated with our Lord and His mighty angels when they come from heaven. What does that mean? It means that the Great Commission is of utmost importance because unless men obey the gospel of Jesus Christ, they will be lost. I don't know sometimes if we think about the seriousness of Jesus' charge. Sometimes individuals look at the Great Commission as if it's optional. Yes, yes, there are people who are qualified to take the gospel to every creature. Yes, they should. They should. It's interesting how we slip into that kind of language, isn't it? They should do that. No, no. I have friends and I have loved ones who need to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. Do you? Are there people that you care about that need to know that Jesus loved them enough to die in their place? That need to know that God loved the world so much that He sent His Son, and that that Son has a plan, and that that plan can save us from our sins? Let me remind you that Jesus told us that the majority of people are following the wrong road. In Matthew 7 and verse 13, His words, "Enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and there are many who go in by it. Because narrow is the gate and difficult is the way which leads to life, and there are few who find it." What does it mean? It means that many people are heading down the wrong road. And that if we allow ourselves in complacency to follow the crowd, we're going the wrong direction. Our task is not to follow those who are content. Our task is to follow the Savior. Does that mean that our world will always appreciate us? No, it won't. But God will. God desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. Jesus charged His apostles, "You go into all the world and you preach the gospel to every creature." Lee County, Mississippi is part of the world. No doubt about that. There are people in our own county who have never heard the gospel of Jesus Christ. Do we have a job? Yes, indeed, we do. The gospel of Jesus is an urgent matter. And so the Great Commission is great, not just because of the one who issued it, or because of its scope, or its duration, or its sufficiency, or because of its purpose, but it's great because of its urgency. Those who do not obey the gospel will face the vengeance of our Lord. There's one other matter that I would attach to this that makes it all the more urgent. None of us know how long our lives will last. James described that in chapter 4 and verse 14 when he said, "Whereas you do not know what will happen tomorrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away." What is your life? The Great Commission is truly great, not just because it comes from Jesus. For that makes it great by itself, but there's more. Because it's for all of us. Because it's for all times. Because it's designed so that men and women might be saved from their sins. Because it teaches us not only what we must do to be saved, but what we must do to stay saved. To follow Jesus wherever He would lead us. And because of its urgency.